3. The Biz. Portions of this program may be
Do you ever have the feeling that your job is more than just a paycheck?
The job that you hold, the people that you work with, none of that is by chance.
You clock in and you clock out, but what goes on in between is more important than you might think.
Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be.
Your 9 to 5 or 5 to 9, your on to off twos, your doubles, overtimes, double times, part times, your job all the time matters every minute of every day.
The people that you work with, they need to meet Jesus, and you may be their only chance. Are you ready to work for Him?
Welcome to I Work for Him with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work for Him Nation to Christ followers, working in cities, doing all kinds of jobs all over the United States, you've tuned into the voice of the faith and work movement. Hey, welcome to I Work for Him. I'm your host, Jim Brangenberg. Today, Martha's on vacation. So glad that you tuned in. I just want to make sure that you check us out online. So many different resources that we've got out there. But first of all, our podcast is available on over 50 different podcast platforms. Just type in I Work, the number 4, Him, and you can find it on your favorite podcast platform. And on Charisma Media, on the Charisma Podcast Network, you can get a hold of our Power Pod, the I Work for Him Power Pod, which is just the golden nuggets, the highlight reel from our everyday show, and you can find it on the Charisma Podcast Network, the I Work for Him Power Pod. And then on your local radio station, local Christian radio station, make sure if you've got a favorite one locally that they know about the I Work for Him Power Thought, a daily power thought that tells everybody listening about connecting their faith and work before they get to work. So it's perfect for drive time there or drive time home. And it's perfect for your favorite Christian music station. Just get a hold of me at iworkforhim.com, and we can get a hold of your favorite Christian music station. We'll just use you as a reference point. But all of that can be found on iworkforhim.com. That's iwork, the number 4, him.com. You know, across the nation and around the world, Jesus followers are being mobilized like a great army of world changers. The Holy Spirit of God is organizing an effort to communicate the love of Jesus through the workplaces of every kind. Love 2020 is a movement to run alongside God in this effort and to encourage Christ followers like you and me to share an authentic touch of Jesus's love with every person in the United States by the end of this year. How are you doing at doing this? Are you loving those around you? Are you loving your enemies? Are you reaching out to those who are you're comfortable with and the ones you're uncomfortable with and showing them the love of God? Head out to love2020.com and join the movement and change the world we live in. Today, to give us a nationwide and localized Wisconsin update, Wisconsin Cheesehead John Kiefer calling in. He's a city reaching coordinator from Appleton, Wisconsin. John Kiefer, it's been over a year. Welcome back to I Work for Him.
Oh, Jim, what a privilege and honor it is to be with you today on the show, and really want the listeners to tune in. This is an important conversation to just hear where God is at work around the country.
So, John, just for the remainder of this first segment, from your perspective, what is the Love 2020 movement all about?
Really, you explained it really well. It's a movement of the Holy Spirit inviting His church, His bride, all across the country to love people. And a very specific process that we're engaging folks in, whether they're a part of a church or a ministry, or maybe they're one of the duns, but really inviting people to live a prayer, care, share lifestyle where we begin to pray for people, we love on them with the love of Christ, and that opens the door for us to share the gospel with them.
When we come back, lots more with John Kiefer. Love2020.com. You're listening to I Work for Him. We'll be right back.
This is for all of us who love the Lord Jesus and have absolutely blown it. We have messed up and we know it. We want to stop, but condemnation and guilt overwhelm us. Please, take a moment and look at the cross. Notice that the Messiah's mutilated, lifeless body isn't on it. He's alive and He's not getting back on that cross. And He expects us to live in the power of the resurrection, not the pain and defeat of the cross. So get off the cross. He's not on it anymore. Why are you? He wants you to live in the love, power, glory, and joy of the resurrection. To embrace the joy of God's forgiveness. And to tell Satan's condemnation to talk to the hand. It's the one with the hole in it. Got questions? Find answers. mark829.com.
Talking to our coworkers and employees about the love of Jesus can be a little bit intimidating because it's a conversation that pushes us way out of our comfort zone, but we've got the tools to help. Check out our website, iworkforhim.com. There you'll find resources for helping you and leading with your faith for those not-so-easy-to-start conversations. It's blogs and podcasts. It's our action-packed power pods and an opportunity to learn more about joining the I Work For Him Nation. iwork4him.com. Head there today and take that leap in conversation tomorrow. iwork4him.com.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him. We're talking with John Kiefer today from Love 2020. John Kiefer, you have been involved in Love 2020 for a number of years already, haven't you?
Yeah, that's correct. This was sprung out of the Mission America Coalition, which is now the Table Coalition, and our network of relationships all around the country with different denominations and ministries and churches has just been a groundswell of we need to get back to what Jesus commanded us to do, and that's to love one another.
So is that what made you decide to get to be part of the Love 2020 movement, or what was the key factor for you, John Kiefer?
Well, it certainly had to do with the commandment of Jesus to love one another. It's just obedience to what he's calling us to, but it also had to do with the network of relationships as we pray together and try to discover God's strategy for reaching those in our communities. This really floated up to the top, that this was an initiative we could all agree on. We need to pray for our neighbor, we need to love them, and we need to share the gospel with them. So it was a perfect fit with what we do in city-reaching movements across the country to help encourage and equip and support teams of people who are committed to praying and caring for and sharing with everyone in their community.
Okay, when you say city-reaching movement, people are going, what's a city-reaching movement? Give us that definition.
Well, that's a great question. And what we're seeing in cities all across the country is the walls are coming down between denominations and churches and ministries, and people are coming together with a common mission and vision to reach their city for Christ. And what that means is mobilizing Christians everywhere, and especially in the workplace and on campuses, to bring the love of Christ and the gospel to the people that they work with and they go to school with.
All right, so you're out of Appleton, Wisconsin, and your focus is on city-reaching movements in Wisconsin, first off. So what have you seen the Lord doing in the cities of Wisconsin in this past year?
Well, we use the word organic, and I know that could be kind of vague, but it's the idea of grassroots, bottom-up, not a lot of organization and structure, but God just moving in people's hearts to come together and want to pray for their community. And we're seeing prayer meetings popping up all over the place, interdenominational, cross-cultural, beautiful expressions of the body of Christ, with people just earnestly seeking the Lord and just having a passion and a burden for evangelism and discipleship. And so out of these prayer gatherings comes, just a really fresh sense of what the Spirit might be doing and encouraging and supporting existing churches and ministries, but seeing how we might work together to make sure everyone in our geography is reached.
You know, I've seen, as Martha and I have traveled across the country, we have seen these amazing movements outside the four walls of the church where when people are in community, it's a denominationally benign. They don't care what denomination they're from. If they're a Jesus follower, they're a Jesus follower. There's a common bond between them because of their faith in Christ. And they don't care culturally. They don't care what color their skin is, that it's Jesus is the centering factor. So that's what's really cool about the Love 2020 movement is this is not run by a single denomination. This is really what Jesus was talking about, wasn't it, John? That they'll know you are my followers when you're unified. I mean, isn't that what he was saying?
I really believe that. One of our key verses really is John 17, where Jesus himself is praying this high priestly prayer for us, the church, when he says, Father, may they be one as you and I are one, then the world will know that you sent me. And so for people to really get Jesus, they need to see the love and unity with us. And when they don't see it, they mock us. They mock the church. They mock God. But when they see genuine, authentic unity and love expressed through the church, their heads turn and their hearts are open. And this is what we're seeing. I'm seeing just, people are willing to put down their silos. They're willing to put down their egos and their labels and just come together in humility and pray and cry out for God to move. And through the conviction and healing of broken relationships, the humility, the love just starts to flow. And it is quite a remarkable thing. And I was just in a prayer meeting this morning with about 20 people that all different churches, all different ministries from around the area, just crying out for the presence of the Lord in brokenness and repentance and humility and praise and worship and just joyful singing. It's really a beautiful thing to behold.
So we got a lot of people listening today, or most of our listeners today are out there in some sort of workplace. They're out there. There could be people working out in a field. They could be out selling cars in a parking lot. They might be a mechanical person doing mechanical work in a house. They could be an executive. They could be a middle manager. But from anywhere in the spectrum of the economy of the United States of America, how are you seeing the Love 20 movement affect people in their workplaces? What are you seeing? What are you hearing about the impact?
Well, the beauty of this is it's really anybody can do it, and it really starts with prayer. And as we pray, God talks to us, and he convicts us, and he cleans us up and continues that good work, and he starts to download his heart and his mind for us. And the natural expression of that is where we go to work, those are people. And we start to feel the love of God for them, and we start to pray for them. And whether they know we're praying or not, we start to connect with God and lift these folks, before him, no matter where we are. And that creates a spiritual climate where the Holy Spirit can move. And we are presented then in that context with opportunities to show love, to show care, to show kindness and compassion. And that often opens up the door for us to share our story and his story, the gospel.
So let's break that down, because we've talked hundreds of times on this show about the I Work for Him Nation Covenant, which models exactly the prayer, care, share lifestyle. So why don't we describe the prayer, care, share lifestyle, what that looks like when you're in a workplace. And I'll add on kind of, because that's what the funny part about when Love 2020 and I Work for Him got joined together back in 2016, it was because we had exactly the same goal of transforming the workplace and transforming people's hearts we didn't use the words prayer, care, share, but we had exactly the same steps. So let's describe for people, when you say we want you to adopt the lifestyle of prayer, care, share, what does it look like, John Kiefer?
Yeah, for me, and I think others who are really being called into this lifestyle, it does begin and end, and all in between is prayer, where we're connecting with God, and we start to pray for, by name, those people in our workplace. And it could be peers, it could be our boss, it could be people that we're serving, even our clients, that we just begin to offer them up to the Lord and pray for them and ask God to show us, Lord, how can I pray for them? And then begin to ask the Lord, Father, how can I love them? How can I care for them? How can I show them your kindness? And it's amazing how God will provide opportunities. I call them divine appointments, where he will intersect us with folks. Sometimes it's at work. Sometimes it's out in the community. And God will give us an opportunity to listen to them, to hear their story, which often opens the doors for us to show that love and care and compassion and share our story.
We're talking today with John Kiefer from Love 2020. Check it out online, love2020.com, love2020.com. John, when you talk about praying for people, one of the things that we say often on the show is we talk about pray for those people that you come in contact with on a regular basis by name each and every day. But then look for ways, after you've prayed for people for a couple, two, three, 4 weeks, when you have a conversation with people, say, you know, I was praying for you, Bob, and just so you know, I was praying for you. Is there anything specific I could pray about for you? But one of the other things that I did personally to transform my workplace is I found out about Bob's wife's name and Bob's kids' names. And then I started praying for all of them. But I also prayed that God would give me the eyes for Bob to see Bob the way that God sees him. And that really transformed the way you do it. So then you move into so that's the prayer part of life, of the lifestyle. What about the care part? What's that look like?
Well, everybody has needs, and we can show care in a multitude of ways. It can be simply listening, without judgment, without advice giving, but just simply listening to someone, because nobody's listening. And when you actually listen with compassion and empathy, it really can affect people in profound ways. And it's amazing how people will just open up. and share very personal and intimate details of their lives.
Well, and again, hang there, because and here's how you open up that conversation. You know, in Minnesota, we'd always say, "How you doing?" Okay, and in New York, you say, "How you doing?" Okay, but and then people would say, because they're Minnesota, nice, "I'm fine." And then this is how I changed that conversation, John. I'd say, "Fine, really? Freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional? No, really. How are you doing?" Because that came from some great movie. I can't remember what it came from. Some chick flick that I watched with Martha one day. But you stop people and you say, "No, I really want to know. How are you doing?" And then the big key there, John, is what you just said. Shut up and listen.
That's the key. It really is. And, you know, through your eyes and the body language, I mean, you're not looking at your phone. You're not looking, who else can I talk to? You're actually focusing in on them and you're listening. You're listening to understand. You're asking clarifying questions. You're leaning in towards them. You're not backing away. You're just showing the love of Christ that you care and you're concerned. And if there's anything you can do to help, you want to be there for them.
You know, we add a couple of just permutations under that through the I Work for Him Nation Covenant is look for ways to serve the people that you work with over and above what your job requires you to do, because that speaks care. And also look for ways to befriend your coworkers and employees over and above, just outside of the workplace. Because when in the workplace, you have a work relationship. You know, we all have work family, but you become really friends when you spend time with people outside of work, in an appropriate way, invite them over for dinner or out for a hamburger somewhere, you know, depending on whether, you know, don't do it. We always say, if you're a single guy, don't go doing this with a single woman at work, but reach out to the single guys at work. This isn't a dating process, but it's look for ways to build that relationship. And you can really do that outside of the office, can't you?
You sure can. And people are busy and we don't want to impose on their circles of relationships because they're full, but I often found that just by living this lifestyle of praying and caring, that God would open up doors. And I remember one time having a little road trip with one of my work buddies. And as we were driving to this thing that we were involved with, he just opened up and he started sharing very personal things with his family and this, you know, an addiction struggle that he had. And I was just shepherding him. I was pastoring him. You know, not in a formal legalistic way, but in a very friendship way to just listen well and try to steer him in a way that might be helpful in his marriage and family, might be helpful, help him to overcome the addiction. And these opportunities are there. They're just waiting if we would begin to pray and just show that empathy and that compassion.
It's being available, too. That's another really powerful thing. We just finished a Marketplace missions trip with Follower of One in the last month with I Work for Him. And one of the things it said is go to work a little early so you're a little bit ahead of schedule so you have a little margin for interruptions by people to actually have those conversations. Just a powerful, powerful thing. The last part of this piece is the share part. At what point in time do we get to incorporate that into this prayer, care, share lifestyle in our workplace? When is sharing appropriate?
You know, I know there's a lot of different opinions on this, but only the Holy Spirit can tell you when they're ready. And we can jump the gun and be so quick to share the gospel that we can scare people away. The light is too bright and it blinds them. And we can be so afraid to share the gospel because of rejection or whatever that we'll never share it. And I think it's this prayerful heart and attitude before the Lord. We're learning to listen to the Spirit in terms of when to share. But the scripture says this, says, be ready, be prepared, be fully equipped to share the hope that's within you when somebody asks you. And so, I mean, when someone asks, why are you caring for me like this? Or why are you praying for me like this? Or why are you so whatever? That's the opportunity for us to share the hope that's within us. And so again, it's a great sensitivity to the Holy Spirit.
It is.
It's a great sensitivity to the needs of where the people are at. And I think God will guide us in this.
And we'll be right back with lots more with John Kiefer. Love2020.com. You'll listen to I Work for Him. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the I Work For Him radio show. Jim and Martha will be right back in just a moment. Right now, let's thank our show sponsors. Luke Andrews, founding advisor partner with Inspire Advisors, an investment advisory firm dedicated to biblically responsible investing. Luke helps clients steward their God-given finances with time-tested, faith-based principles. Luke's goal is to connect your biblical values with your investments. Online at iinvestforhim.com. That's iinvestforhim.com. Todd Hopkins at Office Pride Commercial Cleaning Services offers faith-based franchise opportunities throughout the country. Todd and his team make it possible for entrepreneurs like you to own a commercial cleaning franchise and run it in a way that honors God, honors your employees, and honors your customers. Go to OfficePrideFranchise.com. That's OfficePrideFranchise.com. Finally, today we want to thank Tony Dale and his team at Sedera Health and the Caris Group. Sedera Health is a corporate healthcare sharing community that's biblically designed to help small to medium-sized businesses offer high-end, affordable healthcare without the corporate healthcare cost. To learn more, visit Sedera online at Sedera.com. That's Sedera.com. You, too, can become a corporate sponsor of the I Work For Him radio show. Visit us online at IWorkForHim.com. Once again, here's Martha and Jim.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him. We're talking with John Kiefer from Appleton, Wisconsin, about Love 2020. Check him out online, love2020.com. This is a movement to bring an authentic touch of Jesus to every person in America by the end of this year. Love2020.com got lots of different examples and ways for you to see that in action. We've been doing shows about it for several years. It is absolutely in alignment with what we talk about in I Work For Him because it involves a lifestyle in our workplace of prayer and care and share. And John and I just talked about that. John, let's talk about you personally. You're living in Wisconsin. You're working with city reaching movements. You're praying for cities. You're encouraging people all over the place. How have you personally been able to live out this lifestyle recently, this prayer, care, share lifestyle? How's it impacting you personally?
Well, last time I was on about a year ago, I shared a story about a neighbor, a difficult neighbor that I've been praying for about 12 years, honestly. And I shared an example of how I had an opportunity to show some care. And just 2 weeks ago, we had a big snowstorm here, and my neighbor, he's got a big snowblower in front of his lawn tractor, right? And he just loves to go out there and clean up his driveway. Well, his lawn tractor was in the shop, and I was out shoveling my driveway, and I got down to the end, and he came out of his garage, and he said, "Hey, John, could you shovel for me? I'll pay you. But my tractor's in the shop. Could you clean up my driveway for me?" And I said, "I would love to shovel for you, but I cannot accept any money for this. This is just what neighbors do." And so again, after 12 years of a very rough, difficult relationship, very antagonistic, here he is coming out of his garage and asking for my help. And I just considered that an answer to prayer. And so went over there, got it all cleaned up, did the best job I could. I mean, it was really nice. And so I think that's how it's being lived out in my life. And sometimes it doesn't happen right away. You know, when we first moved here, I thought, okay, we're going to, you know, evangelize our neighbors real quick here. And we're going to have this beautiful Christian community. And that just didn't happen. It's been a dozen years of prayer and looking for those opportunities to show care. And it's just softening. We're just having a beautiful relationship now that we can actually wave and smile and say hi. And I'm just looking forward to not just praying for them and caring for them, but in having an opportunity to share the gospel.
Now you can have them over for dinner. Hey, you know, I shoveled your driveway. Why don't you come over and have dinner with us once? But that's so true. I mean, in the middle of a blizzard, when your snowblower dies, there is nothing more of a panic feeling going over you. And then when you're like, oh, you were able to go and help somebody who's been, just like that relationship you talked about, there's nothing like shoveling somebody's driveway to get to the bottom of their heart. Because
it works. It really does. And, you know, being from Minnesota, you know this.
Yeah, I do.
Down in Florida, there's other ways to do it. But
we rarely get blizzards here. We rarely get blizzards.
It's a big deal. It really is.
But after the hurricanes here, even if it's a way off miss, there's always tree branches down and things like that that you can help clean up with people. I mean, there's always stuff to do. All right, so Love 2020. It's about bringing an authentic touch of Jesus Christ to everybody around us by the end of 2020. What happens on 1/1/21? Do we stop loving?
That's a great question. We're kind of coining the phrase 2020 and beyond. Because we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We all got a sense it may be soon as, things just accelerate here in our broken world. And as it gets darker and darker, of course, we want to shine Jesus' light brighter and brighter. But no, this is an ongoing process of, continuing to press into prayer, continuing to look for those opportunities to care, and of course, sharing the gospel until everyone has had an opportunity to hear the good news. And so we picked 2020 to have a target. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time.
That's right.
And so we wanted to have a target, but no, this goes beyond. In fact, there's some more resources you may want to look at.
We're out of time. Love2020.com. Okay. John Kiefer from Appleton, Wisconsin. Thank you so much for being on I Work For Him today.
You bet. God bless.
You've been listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim Brangenberg. We're Christ followers. Our workplace, it's our mission field, but ultimately, I work for Him.
100.3 FM.
The New Hampshire primary. Progressives versus the socialists.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The final two New Hampshire tracking polls before people go to the ballot box both have Senator Bernie Sanders comfortably ahead of his closest rival, former Mayor Pete Buttigieg. And his campaign said his rally last night at Keene State College drew the largest crowd of any Democratic candidate in New Hampshire, with 2,000 people attending. Nevertheless, Sanders is on the trail asking for support and countering criticism he may be too progressive to beat President Trump if he wins the nomination.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Sanders trying to paint Buttigieg as part of the corrupt establishment, not a safer choice than a Democratic socialist. Also today, the Sanders campaign officially filed for a partial re-canvass of the Iowa caucuses, including 25 precincts and 3 satellite caucuses. And if corrected, his campaign says that would give Sanders one more national delegate.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
We've got a lot to talk about on today's broadcast, because tonight we should have, and I say that with caution, we should have results from the New Hampshire primary. Of course, on Tuesday night, the night before the acquittal of the president in the impeachment trial, everybody expected we were going to have the results from the Iowa caucus, which I still don't think are in quite correctly yet. So supposedly, New Hampshire's coming today. Will it? Good question. We'll see soon, I guess. The polling's going on now. We're going to get into that. Let's talk about that first. We're going to also talk about a couple of wins we've had on the religious liberty front in the next segment of the broadcast. On the back end, we're going to really get into the New Hampshire primary. But to get the conversation started a little bit here on the New Hampshire thing, Jordan, first of all, how accurate are these polls? I know there's a lot of independents up in New Hampshire
is this like half open primary. So you could actually undeclare yourself a Republican and then become an independent that day and vote today in either primary. So as President Trump said, go and vote for the weakest candidate. And that's actually a strategy parties have done to each other when you got the president in office, so he doesn't really have a primary challenge. So that's not new, what President Trump said yesterday. I mean, you never exactly know, but I will tell you that it is easier to poll than a caucus. And it's pretty clear right now that Bernie Sanders has got the strongest lead. I mean, the big surprise would be, does Mayor Pete somehow jump over him? There's no poll showing that even close, okay? But you go next, you go the step down, and there are polls pretty close within the margin, some polls in the last day or two, that show Amy Klobuchar within striking distance of Mayor Pete. And then Elizabeth Warren basically in a two-way tie for fourth with Joe Biden. Now, those polls are all so close at the end that I predict this. Joe Biden has the most to lose, but he's already kind of saying that. What if Joe Biden finishes third? He's going to consider that a win.
Yeah.
And he's going to try to use that to say, see, I'm not dead. I jumped all the way back from fifth to third, which is pretty sad, but still. But what happens to Elizabeth Warren if she's in fourth in a neighboring state. I mean, a state where literally people commute into her state to work daily.
Yeah.
So what does it say about that? And then if Amy Klobuchar, who's gotten all this attention the last 2 days, doesn't finish in the top three, is a far away fourth or fifth place.
I think she's been the best debater on their debate stage.
But if she doesn't finish, she's got a lot to lose as well. So I think Joe Biden finishing in fifth, a ton to lose. Klobuchar, a lot to lose. And then, of course, Sanders the most. He has to kind of win. This is his home turf kind of territory, if you will.
If is it fair to say, Harry, at this point, that it really is the progressive wing versus the socialist wing, that we kind of dealt with this yesterday, this whole moderate wing doesn't really exist?
I think the moderate wing exists, but it is shrinking and shrinking rapidly. I think most of the energy is on the progressive wing, and a significant number of Democrats have been converted to socialism, and that is a troubling development for the nation.
So Joe Biden's not even going to be there today. Joe Biden is going to do a live stream to his supporters from South Carolina. He's actually going to South Carolina, which is not up next. It's Nevada next, then South Carolina. So that tells you about how Joe Biden thinks he's going to finish. So maybe Joe Biden finishes the top three. Be a great surprise for him. Obviously, his polling's not showing that.
All right, if you're on Facebook and Periscope, we encourage you to share it with you. For the ACLJ, major case, major win. Back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
We have a lot more on the New Hampshire primary, but I want to take a moment here to celebrate a victory because that's important. While all this was going on in Washington, D.C., our ACLJ teams around the country, frankly, around the world, were working on major cases. I know we had some big wins in Europe. Our office in Pakistan had some great wins the last couple of weeks, so things were happening, and we've got a good win here in the United States. Abby Sutherland is a senior counsel for the ACLJ. She's been on the broadcast many times. She had an interesting case, and I'm going to have her set it up. It involved an FBI agent who we were representing. Talk about the case first.
That's right. So we represent an FBI agent in a field office in Chicago. And he had for years displayed a chalkboard containing Bible verses.
Where did he display it?
He displayed it on the top of his cubicle.
So his workspace area. Okay.
And it was pursuant to a policy. Everyone decorated their personal workspaces.
Yep.
And so over the course of a few years, there had been several occasions in which supervisors had questioned the religious speech, had expressed displeasure with the content, the Bible verses, had told him to take it down. The chalkboard had actually been removed one day without his permission.
So somebody took it.
Yes. It was subsequently put back up.
Yeah.
So in the fall of this past year, he was ordered officially to take it down. And
so when you say, I want everybody to understand. So you're in an FBI field office. You got a cubicle. Is he an agent?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So he... So, Andy, take somebody inside what that would look like, an agent's office.
Well, I mean, sort of think of a boiler room operation in a stock office. Everybody is sitting in little cubicles that are framed around with these artificial, you know, these sort of walls that are made with cloth and plastic and so forth. There's a desk. There's a telephone. There's a stand for a computer or something like this. And there may be as many as 20 or 30 workspaces, stations seated in this very large room, and everybody's got their workstation. And you can't really look in to see what is being done because the agent may be drafting a 302,
yeah,
you know, an official memorandum of an interview. So there's privacy, and you really have to exert yourself to look into the space.
All right, so our client has a chalkboard. He puts Bible verses on it. What's his work history? How's he when he's being reviewed in the past? What's his work history like?
He's worked for the FBI for over a decade,
okay.
And he has an excellent to outstanding rating.
Okay,
at the FBI.
So he's never had a job issue.
Never.
So the job issue here was what was on his chalkboard.
Right. Right.
What was on the chalkboard?
So it was a Bible verse. I'm actually not sure. He would switch out the Bible verses on a weekly or daily basis.
Okay.
So it came to a point at which, after this was the third time that someone had taken issue with the religious content, and only the religious content, other employees were still displaying various...
What did the other employees display in their workstations?
Some were jokes of the day. There was a rather large beer advertisement hanging on the workspace cubicle.
So the beer advertisement was fine. The Bible verse was not.
It was. Okay. And he knew this was a pattern that needed to be addressed because another employee had been told to take down her 4th of July decoration.
What was in that?
Which contained the words, God bless America.
Okay, so it's the July 4th week. She puts up God bless America and she's told take it down.
Yes.
Did this actually come from like supervisors... Instead of like catching terrorists, they're out there worrying about what's on the chalkboard.
It came from supervisors each and every time, and more than one supervisor, which is why he decided to take a stand and clarify the policy.
So did they what kind of policy did they have? Because to me it seems so petty that these are adults in a an adult and you're in your workspace and people decorate the workspace. I mean, the teams in here decorate their workspaces and they decorate the workspaces. In the workspace, they have a Bible verse or God bless America. And for the FBI, this is a constitutional crisis?
Apparently so. And the interesting thing is the agent requested a copy of the policy on more than one occasion and was never given a copy of the policy.
Of course not.
We've still never seen the policy.
Right.
But he did this knowing that he might face disciplinary action because within the ranks of the FBI, when you're ordered to do something and you refuse to do so, many times discipline follows.
Yeah, we know. Not always discipline follows, but go ahead. In this case, this guy they're going to try to get. People that were, bugging the, spying on the Trump campaign, they get away. That's fine. This is the guy they want to take down, but go ahead.
He did, and he did face disciplinary action.
So when you say disciplinary action, what'd they charge him with, or what were they going to charge him with? Like insubordination?
Yes, insubordination. Mm. He was removed from several of his duties, and then immediately following this incident, he received his first low performance annual rating, which then denied him a pay raise that he was entitled to. And after reviewing the annual rating, we knew for sure it was an act of retaliation. There was no support for it. Some of the statements were entirely incorrect in the evaluation that was conducted. And again, he had years and years of outstanding and excellent service.
So, okay, so we get involved. What's the first thing we do?
We gather the information and we send a letter directly to the supervisors at the FBI, the ones above the one that made the decision.
So then you go for a meeting. Walk people into that. Can you talk about that meeting a little bit?
I cannot talk about the mediation. There were numerous representatives for the FBI there.
Numerous representatives for the FBI over a chalkboard that had Bible verses on it. Now, I want everybody to let that sink in for just a moment. So I'm not belittling the significance of it because for this agent, this was a big issue for him personally. he had a Bible verse, another person had God Bless America, and that the FBI decides to send multiple representatives, I won't tell you how many, because it would boggle your mind, to negotiate this out. So tell us about what happens here.
Well, ultimately...
First of all, did he get written up? I mean, was he formally written up? Did they file a formal reprimand? Or did they note it in his review?
Yes, it was noted. As I said, he was removed from certain duties while this was being investigated.
So, Andy, when they you're shaking your head there. I want you to jump in on this because you work with FBI agents for years.
What I want to say is, you know, to our Christian audience, arise, O Lord, judge the earth. Anastao theos krinon tin yi. Here is a man who is doing the most horrible thing in the world, putting a Bible verse up, and he is being castigated by his superiors after a decade of service for the government. Considering what the FBI agents have done in other cases that we have been involved in, this innocuous conduct by a God-fearing man is being subjected to this kind of torment. This is awful.
Okay, so before we get into the resolution, we've kind of taken you inside there, but I want to go to Harry on this because you've written a lot about religion and religious freedom. A workspace that they allow people to have personal expressions, a limited public forum of that point. There's no way this violates the Establishment Clause. I mean, this isn't the government speaking here. This is the private actor speaking.
Absolutely. So there are two precise issues, at least from my perspective. First, it has to do with one component of the free exercise clause, that Congress, and in this particular case, the government, can make no law respecting the exercise of religion. That's number one. Number two, this particular individual enjoys the right of freedom of speech. And then number three, what we have clearly and unmistakably is unequal a treatment of an individual largely on grounds that he has affirmatively engaged in religious speech. So this reflects, at least in my opinion, a newly discovered muscular form of hostile secularism, which is beginning to infect the federal government. And this policy clearly and unmistakably, in my view, violates the United States Constitution, number one. And number two, it violates common sense. So here you have an agent who has performed his job admirably, and guess what? We want to write him up because he has a form of speech outside of his cubicle. Where was the FBI when Peter Strzok and Lisa Page engaged in their misbehavior?
Oh, they were erasing those. Those they erased.
Yes. Where was the FBI with respect to all of the emails that Hillary Clinton received? They were missing in action. But guess what? They have the time. They have the energy to go after an individual who has a card outside of his office. So this raises the question whether or not the FBI has been fatally infected with anti-Christian hostility.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this. This has got us all riled up. So we're going to take this into the next segment of the broadcast. We'll let you know how this went, but just think about this for a moment. FBI agent worked there for a decade in his private workspace, puts a little sign outside that has a Bible verse on it. What do they do? They write him up. That they have time to do. But as Andy said, people can erase emails. People can do all kinds of things. That's a constitutional crisis. No, this guy is the constitutional crisis. We'll talk about the victory there. We'll talk about that, how it was handled. We'll get some more information. Then we're going to get into some other conversations. Back half hour, we're going to get into New Hampshire. So get if you want to talk to us, by the way, 800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Also, support the work of the ACLJ.
Yeah, ACLJ.org. You can donate online. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Let me go to Than Bennett for a moment because he's lonely up there in Washington. We're going to get to him in the back half hour here. But, Than, just a little teaser on what's coming up in the second half hour. So Joe Biden just announced that Biden abruptly cancels his primary party appearance and heading to South Carolina.
Yeah, not exactly a good omen, Jay. They also took him off the trail in New Hampshire earlier this week. That told me everything I needed to know. I will tell you, it is a little lonelier now that you've left town, though, Jay. But I did, if I could I just make one comment on that FBI case that you were talking about? Because we have talked on this broadcast, Jay, about this cultural problem at the FBI where there's the leadership divide yep. that between the seventh floor and the line agents. We said over and over again when you had leadership targeting presidential campaigns and sitting campaigns that there were many good line agents. Jay, do you need a more stark example of that cultural divide between the seventh floor and the line agents than what you all are talking about? Pretty shocking, actually.
Yeah, so Abby, again, kind of quickly set up the facts again for people to understand. As an FBI agent, career FBI agent, been there for over a decade,
right?
Got great reviews. And then what does he do that caused, what does he do to create the constitutional crisis for the FBI?
Well, for the last 3 years or so, he's been displaying Bible verses on top of his workspace cubicle.
And had no real problems.
No real problem. Well, actually, approximately one time a year, someone would take issue. A supervisor would take issue okay. with the religious content. And he wasn't the only one. And that's what actually led him to go ahead and question the policy and take okay. a stand.
So the policy was what? Because they never gave you the policy. But what were right. they saying it was?
We don't know what the policy was, except that the concern that I believe was probably front and center is other employees in the workspace can see the message. And if it's offensive to them, then how do we deal with that?
And these that's are adults that's, we're talking about.
Exactly.
Well, guess
exactly.
what? The price of free speech is sometimes you hear things you don't like. I mean, but Andy, you're shaking your head.
Well, I'm shaking my head because it's so ridiculous that we have degenerated into a culture that condemns a person who in their workspace puts up a verse out of Scripture. Would it have been different if it was from the Quran? Would it have been different if it
yes,
was from something else? It wouldn't have been a complaint. But but again, to our Christian audience, I want to say that these are the kinds of things that we engage in and protect, and police officers do not lose their civil rights simply because they put on a uniform.
Yeah.
A question came in, too, from Gordon on Facebook saying, is there a difference between rules for government workers and the private sector as far as displays? I mean, a lot of this comes down to is what you allow
yeah.
for both private and
yeah,
corporate.
But government it, because it's the government, there are First Amendment rights that attach that yeah. in a private workspace may not. So this was a government workspace. They allowed personal expression. Then
that's
the question
the
is, can they, then Abby, it really was, could they censor this particular expression right. because it was it had a Bible verse on it or it had a Christian content.
Right. I mean, the issue really was the policy was being applied in a discriminatory manner, as it typically is for religious content, specifically Christians. This happens time and time again.
What was the end result?
We were very successful. And honestly, the moment that ACLJ sent a letter to the FBI, it was very quickly reviewed and they quickly began to take steps to correct the situation.
Now, you went to actually to a meeting, like a mediation.
I did.
And we're not going to get into, you're not allowed to discuss the details of it, but everything has been resolved successfully?
It has. It has been resolved
successfully. Bible verses can say up?
Yes. Yes.
Client's record cleared?
Yes.
He's still an FBI agent?
He is. Yes.
So I'm glad it's resolved. I'm glad that Abby is a great lawyer and she got it resolved. But it is a little bit numbing, to tell you the truth, that we are in a situation where I look at the tale of two cities within the FBI. And on the one hand, I just spent 3 weeks on the floor of the Senate giving a litany of FBI abuses, including filing false statements to the FISA court. And for all I know, that agent or lawyer is still there. And then our client... It gets written up and basically denied promotions. Why? Because he had a Bible verse displayed where somebody said, God bless America on the July 4th week, which kind of tells you the nature of what we've got. We actually got a call coming in on this we should take, call line on line one.
Yeah, Jerry in Rhode Island on line one. Jerry, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jerry.
Hello, team. There's the A team and the B team, and when you toe the line, and you're going to testify the way the management wants you to, or just the 302s, the way the high tide is working. Going forward, how is this guy going to be evaluated for future positions, like up to Strzok level?
Yeah.
If he's already made a ripple down in middle level, how is he going to be counted on to be a team player at the upper level?
That's a good question. Andy first?
Well, I mean, what's going to happen is that he's tarred and feathered and marred for the rest of his career with the FBI and with law enforcement, and he's never going to be able to rehabilitate himself because his integrity has been impugned, and I can tell you that this is going to follow him forever.
Which I hope it doesn't. What do you think, Abby? You did it.
Well, here's the thing is the ACLJ is watching. We're monitoring the situation.
And I think that makes a
big
difference.
And we will continue to monitor the situation. I think why this is
I want you to say that again so people so understand, because we are concerned about it, obviously. But we don't just win the case and say thank you, goodbye. We're going to monitor this situation closely, and we've got a pretty loud voice when we need to use it. So go ahead, talk about that for a minute. Yeah,
we will continue to monitor this situation. I think, you know, in the 15 years or so that I've been doing this, fortunately, there's never been a second incident of retaliation.
Yeah,
and so that's, you know, that's encouraging. I think what is so disturbing about
practicing law 15 years.
Between the clerkship and practicing law,
I made it. Old man. Abby was one of our law clerks years ago. When were you in law school? 22, graduated in 08?
2007.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that is what it is. We've got a great team. And these, I'm still say young lawyers, but seasoned lawyers now, came through Regent University. In fact, yeah, by the way, a little shout out to Regent. We had, how many lawyers, Jordan, on the president's team from Regent? Four?
Yeah.
Yeah. Four lawyers from Regent University and the president's defense team. It's pretty historic. But anyways, so we're going to monitor it. But we had a good success here.
But I think that why this is so egregious is you have the federal government failing to abide by the laws of the land. And at the very, you know, at the very least, being confused about what the law is and how it's applied. And that's why it's disturbing here. If you can't rely upon the federal government to properly apply the laws of the land, where do we go from there?
All right. Go ahead, Jordan.
So we have some calls coming in about it. I guess we'll take those second half hour. You want to try it? We have one right now. I think we could try it to answer really quickly.
Ahead.
Julie in California, line three. Julie, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Julie, quickly, please.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
First of all, because I'm so happy that you protected our 45th president of the United States.
With the team.
Hopefully the next 45 by what you did. I'm going to donate $45.
There you go. 45 for 45. Thank you. The ACLJ thanks you. But go ahead with your question.
I work in a very liberal industry. I'm I'm at the point practically of not saying anything Christian.
Yeah.
What if I were to put up a Bible verse? Would you guys be able to protect
Depends,
me?
It would, I'm going to put you on hold and let you. We'll get your contact info and someone will contact. It's going to really, Abby, it really depends on private versus public, what the policies are.
It does. Most of the time, one rule that you can rely upon is it just the policy has to be applied in a neutral manner. If other people are allowed to decorate their workspace, then you can too, and they can't single out religious content and treat it disfavorably.
All right. Coming back from the break, and good job on that, by the way. Coming back from the break, that was a nice win. I'm glad we were able to talk about that. We're going to get into New Hampshire. What's next on the political polls? It's going to be a big night for somebody.
Yeah, I think it's probably a good night for Bernie Sanders. If not, I mean, it throws the whole thing into a mess. Should be
Sanders does not win tonight, he's in trouble.
Yes, I mean, unexplainable. And then Mayor Pete should have a decent night coming in second. Then it's the rest. It's who comes in third. Right. That is very unclear right now.
All right, we want you to support the work of the ACLJ. Any amount you donate, it's great. It's tax deductible. ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org. Have your voice heard so we can handle cases just like we talked about today. Back with more in a moment. But again, go to ACLJ.org. Support the work of the ACLJ.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800